Good evening. I have a good news for you. My English will last only for 10 minutes. And after that, low but. So, Father Gus is my mentor and he's my teacher in English. If I commit any mistakes, don't blame me. Being honest, that man.
You feel at home, brother.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Brother Fulmer. Your son is really a blessing to our family, Brother Chris Fulmer. He stayed one night in our house. He ate what we eat in our house. And I told him, Brother Chris, you will stay here. You will go with me in my Bible studies and visitation. So he did. So he is a great blessing, especially in our church. So tonight, when I see you folks, guys, it fills and thrills my heart. And I'm really blessed tonight. Let's open our Bible in the book of Acts. Chapter 11, verse 23. Book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 23. Who, when he came and seen and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So I would like to share a short discourse tonight about he saw the grace of God and he was glad. So the book of Acts in the New Testament tells the story about how the primitive Baptist spread like wildfire from Jerusalem. Do you believe that? Where Jesus died and rose from the dead to Samaria, to Syria, to Greece, to Rome, and beyond. So tonight, we read a part of the story that describes another decisive steps in the spread of the Lord's church. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 11. So, well, in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we saw how the movement spread to the totally non-Jewish Gentile people at Caesarea and built a bridge over the alienation between Christian Jew and non-Christian Gentiles. Now, in chapter 11, verses 19 following, we track the Lord's church all the way north along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea to the chief city of Syria and Antioch. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greek also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great multitudes that believed turned to the Lord. So tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas to Antioch, who, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So the sentence I want us to focus tonight is from verse 23. It says, when Barnabas came from Jerusalem, he saw the grace of God and was glad. He saw the grace of God and was glad. Now the question is, how did God's grace become visible in Antioch, the Lord's church? What I would love to see happen because of this service tonight is for everybody here is to be able to say, I saw the grace of God and I'm glad. So my question for this passage of Scripture is, how did the grace of God become visible to Antioch? Or in Antioch, Barnabas saw the grace of God and was glad. It was visible. And I think the grace of God becomes visible today in our lives the same way it did then in Antioch. So I want to ask this text, how did the grace of God become visible in Antioch? The first thing, the grace of God became visible when it turned persecution in preaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They were persecuted that time, but persecution did not hinder them to preach the Word of God. Now, there are at least three answers probably, but I'm only going to talk about one of them. Namely, the grace of God became visible when it turned persecution into the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Barnabas saw that the persecution in Jerusalem had produced preaching in Antioch, and that many people had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he saw was the grace of God. God's grace became visible when he turns persecution into the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now in verse 19, now those who were scattered abroad because of their persecution that arose over Stephen have traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. In verse 20, there were some of them, men of Cyrus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Greek also, preaching or telling the good news about Jesus Christ. Now listen, the grace of God uses suffering. In other words, the good news about Jesus Christ came to Antioch because of what? Because of suffering. Because of persecution. Barnabas saw this and called it the grace of God. And it made him glad. God's grace became visible when it makes the anguish of persecution a means of spreading the gospel of the grace of God. Like what Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, these things that happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel. Those persecution, those temptation, everything was happened to Apostle Paul. The reason is for the furtherance of the grace or of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If anything is clear from the Bible is this. The grace of God does not spare His people suffering in this age, but rather uses suffering to bring His people to Himself. Sometimes when we sleep to the soft pillow, there's a tendency for us, to be lax, to be easy. The Son of God, He Himself suffered to save His people from condemnation. And now He turns suffering again and again for our good, both in this age and in the age to come. Now, when the American preachers when I met them, especially Elder Gus Harter. In spite of many trials, in spite of many persecution, I saw the grace of God in him. Many times he didn't know, I always observed him. But this man has a compelling drive. You didn't stop him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has shown his grace in our own time, in the same way he did in the book of Acts. I saw the grace of God among the American brethren. In other words, the grace of God was at work in all this. God hasn't changed. This is the grace, this is the same grace of God that used persecution to get good news from Jerusalem, Jews to Antioch, and Gentiles. Grace among American brethren. Before we joined the Primitive Baptist, after Brother Gus preached in our church during that night, one of our missionaries, he gave a call to our sending church here in America. And he said, Elder Quinto invited Primitive Baptist preacher from America. And he is a Primitive Baptist. You know what? The American missionary came immediately in our church and said, Brother Quinto, is it true that you invited preacher from America? Yes, sir. Is it true that he is a Primitive Baptist preacher? Yes, sir. What? Yes, sir. He said, did you know that the Primitive Baptists in America, they are dying? I don't know, sir. Did you know that the Primitive Baptists there in America, they don't believe in evangelism? I don't know, sir, about that. Did you know that the Primitive Baptist there is a hard shell? I don't know that. I was ignorant about that. Did you know that they are antinomianism? I don't know. One thing I know, sir, that the Primitive Baptists here in the Philippines, their growth is very rapid. The fastest growing during that time in evangelism is the Primitive Baptist. I saw, sir, with my own eyes that Elder Gus almost weekly, he baptized people. He said, don't fellowship with them. I don't know, sir. If you have fellowship with these people, we will cut your support. That is our problem in the Philippines. We came from any other denomination, and we received some support. When we joined to the Primitive Baptist, before I joined, Brother Gus said, I have no money. What? If I will choose this man, my family will be in trouble. Sir, in our missionary, American missionary, we received support. And he promised he'd give me a car. Do you give me a car? No, no car in the Primitive. What? How about that? You know what? One thing that struck me most is this. the grace of God, the pure sovereign grace of God. It overcomes all your fears. And the American missionary come again in our church. Elder Quinto, one thing. One last question. I said, what is that? You can preach and I will hear at the back and see if you are a primitive Baptist or not. And I preached grace during that time. He was young. He was always, you know, in his seat. He was young. Then after my preaching, he came forward. Then he said, Brother Quinto, in front of your congregation, I have a question. Do you believe that the gospel is the means for the eternal salvation of men? I said, why, sir? Look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You see, Elder Quinto, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I said, sir, continue reading. To them that believe it. That means, sir, they are believer already. That's the reason why the gospel has a power to them. Oh, Elder Quinto, you're a primitive Baptist. You believe what they believe. No, sir, I'm a missionary. No, you're a primitive Baptist. From now on, we will cut your support. From now on, we declare our non-fellowship in this church. Oh, we're crying at that time. We're so devastated for this missionary. Then our church member go out and they go home weeping, crying, even my wife. That night our offering was decreased. Maybe every week we have $2 offering. It's not good for my family, for our poor children. Sometimes we eat one noodles for the whole day. I didn't eat. My son asked me, Daddy, is this the price of your service? Is this the price what you got in that kind of doctrine? I don't know, son. But let us move on. Let us keep on. This is a true doctrine. We need to preach it. And I saw my wife weeping. She was weeping. Following Sunday, our old member, he came to me and talked to me. He said, Elder Quinto, if they accuse us that we are primitive Baptists, since if they say that our doctrine is like the doctrine of the primitive Baptists, and our practices is like the practices of the primitive Baptist, why don't we join to these brethren?
I agree with that.
And I talked to Elder Gus. He was in America during the time. I said, Elder Gus, would you come? Would you please baptize us? He said, I'm coming. That time, 70 members was baptized and were crying. My wife said, this is our last baptism. Since we got almost 5 baptism. Pastor, this is our last baptism. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I saw the toil, the labor of Elder Gus Harter. I saw the grace of God among American brethren. In other words, the grace of God was at work in all this. God hasn't changed. Yes, sir. God's grace, not only to the American brethren, but also to the Filipino brethren. You know, there's sacrifice. I saw their sacrifice. Until now, they're still sacrificing something for the gospel's sake. Sometimes we can avoid them to share their problems. You know, Elder Quinto, we have no food. Okay, we will pray. You know, Elder Quinto, since the time we joined the Primitive Baptist, you know, our support was cut off. Oh yes, just trust in the Lord. Until now, they continue in the faith of in the Primitive Baptist. The grace of God works the same way in the lives of individual as well. Suffering becomes the stepping stone to God. Not only to the Philippine brethren, but also God's grace in my own life. I want to bear testimony tonight that it has been true in my own life. The grace of God became visible by turning sorrow into substance. My experience before I joined the Primitive Baptist, it was terribly humiliating and kept me from many activities. But do you know what the grace of God was doing in those awful days? But now I know better. He was answering my prayer that time. I wouldn't see it clearly for about 15 years. But he was making a preacher. He was doing it in the way nobody else would do it. Because his ways are not our ways. And now I see all the suffering and all the embarrassment and all the humiliation and all loneliness and all the crying out to God as a sheer gift. And my standing in the pulpit tonight as the visibility of grace. I have seen the grace of God. And I'm glad. Amen. I think the grace of God took everyday's pain. I think the grace of God took every great trials. And I think the grace of God took every perplexities. I think the grace of God took every great obstacle. And I think the grace of God took every great difficulties. And I think the grace of God took every defeat. And it used for my good and yours. Beloved brethren, what a difference if the God of all grace will not help me in studying those precious doctrines of God's grace and experiencing it internally and motivated by its doctrine. Oh, Elder Quinto will not remain in the ministry. What a difference if my brethren did not offer a prayer for me, and if Elder Gus Harper is not there in times of my trials, and in times of my persecution, in times of my problems, in times of my temptation, Elder Quinto will not remain in the ministry. As long as we saw American brethren still continue in the ministry, in spite of trials, in spite of temptation, in spite of many difficulties, in spite of many problems, we saw the grace of God and we are glad in the Philippines. So I testify to you tonight, I've seen the grace of God in my life and I was glad. He take what seems to be the worst of circumstances. He turned them into good news. He did it for the persecuted brethren in the book of Acts. He did it for the American brethren. He did it for the Filipino brethren. He did this to other country. He did it for me and still, and he can do it for you no matter what you are going through this day. I know it's not very easy. Everything will be bearable. Everything will make you wiser and more loving. Everything will draw you nearer to God. This is how the grace of God will become visible in your life. And God will do it by His grace. So I want to close this message with a plea that Barnabas gave to the church in Antioch in verse 23. It says, "Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all that with a purpose of heart, that is to remain faithfully, they would cleave or stay unto the Lord." Brethren, that's my plea to you. Trust the grace of God. Don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in your money. Don't put your trust in the government. Don't put your trust in the church. Don't put your trust in your job. Don't put your trust in yourselves. Put your trust in the grace of God and then hang in there. Don't let anybody trick you out the greatest gift in the world. Living in the joy, living in the power of the grace of God. Beloved brethren, does this message of the grace of God come to you with joy? Have you received the grace of God? If so, grace be unto you and peace from God, from our Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome you. God bless you.